good to be here again after being gone for a couple of Sundays. 2 weeks ago, Starla and I were in Indiana at the MEW Ministers Enrichment Week and had a great time of just getting input and rubbing shoulders with fellow pastors and ministers. It's a really good time at Elnora Bible Institute is where it was held. And then last week, I was able to be out in Colorado. And for those of you that love the West, I actually was able to ski for a day and spent some time with my brothers out there for a birthday party, and spent last Sunday with Sonia, actually, in church. Got to surprise her and showed up at the church there and had a good time there. So it's good to be back, and it feels like a long time since I've been here. And actually, I think another part, a part of me being gone the last couple weeks that I haven't liked is it feels like we started a series here, and I feel like with being gone, we've lost a little bit of momentum. And that was the whole series that we started with the missions faith giving. And I want to spend a little bit of time talking about that again this morning, because the last thing I want as a church is that we just initiate another program. That's not what this is all about. And I'm not sure if I said that the first time when I talked about it and when Ray was here. But this isn't about a program that we want to initiate as a church. And the first message I preached in that series was What About Them, where I talked about the needs of the world physically, and I didn't spend a lot of time on the spiritual needs, but there's needs out there spiritually as well. And the last thing I want to happen is that we preach a message like that and we come away from there and just go back to how we were living before. And so I want to talk a little more about that this morning, because I believe those things, let me put it this way. Why care about the needs of the world, and why care about the souls out there that need Him? Why do we care about that? And I believe actually it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of my heart. It's a heart issue whether we care about those kind of things or not. And I'm not saying that to put anyone on a guilt trip again, because I know the wrestlings of my own heart. I know what I face every day as I get up and I go about work and as I go about the things of this earth. And how much I care about people. Actually, our Sunday school lesson was a very good introduction to it. How much do we love the people of the world? That's a hard issue. I can't do it on my own. There's no way I can drum up some sort of care about the people of the world. It has to be coming from the Lord. I can't love on my own. I can't care on my own. It's a matter of a heart issue, and I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. As I was reading in my devotions in the last week, I read a number of verses in Matthew chapter 6. Turn your Bibles there. Matthew chapter 6, it's in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, and really, it's just the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus talking. He's up on the mountain, and a bunch of people are there, and he's talking about what the kingdom of heaven will look like, and what life in the kingdom looks like, and he jumps around and covers a lot of different subjects in the Sermon on the Mount. But in chapter 6, verse 19, he says this: Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I'm going to come back and talk about that a little bit later, but verse 22 says, And it almost seems in Scripture like he's jumping into something totally different. But in the context, I want you to listen to these verses in the context of what we just read, and in the context about money. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you in darkness, how great is that darkness? And then verse 24, he comes back and says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Some translations say money. Pretty powerful words from the Lord, and words actually that I have to continue to look at in my own life. And I want to just unpack a little bit, and then there's a couple points I want to lift out of these verses. He's talking about us laying up treasure in heaven. We have an option of where we're going to lay it up, and he's talking about laying up for yourselves treasure in heaven. And then in 21, he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then it almost feels like he totally jumps out of that subject and throws in two verses in the middle there that it's begin talking about the lamp of the body is the eye. And if the eye is good, our body will be full of light. But if our eye is bad, it'll be full of darkness. And I've always wondered why he threw two verses in there that have nothing to do with the context, or it doesn't feel like it has anything to do with the context of what he was talking about. Because right after those two verses, he comes back and says, we can't serve two masters. There's no way that we can do that. But actually, those verses fit right in the context of what he's talking about. And I want to talk about that just a little bit here. He's talking about the fact that the lamp of our body is the eye. And he's talking about the physical part of it. We receive light into our body through our eyes. And he says, if your eye is single, or if your focus is single, if you're able to have a single focus, your body will be filled with light. But if our eyes are not singly focused, we're in big trouble. And we know that on a physical sense. If I have eyes that aren't able to focus, and I have one going and my eyes are going different directions, I'm in big trouble because I see blurry, and there's a darkness that comes, and we can't walk properly, we can't function properly in life. And that is true, and he's talking about that in the context of how we handle our finances on this earth and how we live our lives. I'm actually getting into some of my points here now, but really what he's unpacking is saying we have a choice of what we're going to focus on in our life. We're either going to focus on the things of heaven, we're going to lay up treasures in heaven, or we're going to lay up treasures on earth. And if our focus is off, if we get it off the things of heaven, there's going to be darkness in our light, in our lives. And then he comes back and says this, and this is really powerful. He says, if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? And I don't know what that does for you, but that makes me stop and think, because the reality is there's things in my life that I think are light, that give me passion in life, and I want to go for it. I want to put my heart into it. There's a host of things, and I think I'm following light or life. We can interchange those words. The problem is if the light that is in us is darkness, how incredibly great that darkness is. It actually can be religion. It can be religion. It's the religion by which we live our lives. That can be what we think is life, but actually it's darkness. And when that happens, the darkness is absolutely incredible in our lives, because we think we're seeing the light. We think we're following the light. We think we're following what gives us life. And when that doesn't happen, when it isn't actually light and life that we are living and following, The darkness in our lives is absolutely incredible because we're deceived in thinking that we're following light. We're following life. Pretty powerful words right in the middle of his teaching on money and finances. Several points I want to bring out is this. God is all about us storing up wealth out of these verses. God is all about, we hear people say, God doesn't want us to pursue wealth and riches and all those kind of things, abundance. That's not true. God wants us to pursue all of those things. That's his heartbeat. He wants us to pursue riches and wealth. But in these verses, there's only two places that we can pursue that. One is earthly riches and wealth. The other is heavenly riches and wealth. Those are the only two places. There's two places that we can deposit our wealth. One is here on this earth, the other is in heaven. And God, and he says in the first two verses, don't pursue wealth on this earth where it's going to get away from us, where it's going to rust, where thieves are going to break in and steal. But he says, I want you to pursue wealth in heaven where it's secure for eternity. But I want you to be passionate about that. I want you to pursue it with all your lives, with all your heart. God is all about that. He's all about riches and wealth. I don't know about you, but I feel that tension about where I'm going to deposit my wealth every day of my life. Every morning when I get up, I have a choice. What am I going to invest my life into? Where am I going to deposit the riches of life today? Am I going to pursue the earthly riches, or am I going to pursue heavenly wealth and riches? That's a tension that we face every day of our lives. Matthew 12:13-21, we know the story of the rich young fool. It actually is the title in my Bible. I have the wrong reference. I think it's Luke. I have the wrong reference down. I'm going to tell you the story anyway. We know the story of the rich young fool that my Bible talks about. It's the title. He got a lot of riches and wealth. He said, I'm going to pull down my barns. I'm going to build bigger, and I'm going to store that up. And then Jesus said, you fool, tonight your soul is going to be required of you, and then whose riches are these going to be? See, the thing of it is, we can't take riches with us when we leave this earth. We can't. So we have to decide where we're going to deposit them. I was just listening to a program actually not too long ago where it was talking about the United States and some of the things that are going on for us as a country. And one of the questions that was raised is, why are there banks being built in other countries for us to deposit? Us as Americans are depositing our money. The only purpose of those banks is to get our money out of America into those banks so that money is safe. And they were saying, why is that? Why isn't that money in America? And I thought about that in relation to our Christian lives. We actually want to get our wealth out of America. The reason those banks are there is because people think it's safer than in America. And banks are being built around the world that is receiving our money because we believe it's safer than keeping it here in America. That's true actually in the spiritual sense as well. Our wealth needs to be deposited in a place that's safe. Not in a place where it can get away from us. We can lose it or it can be stolen. The second point that I get out of these verses is, where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Our heart is what we're passionate about. And where we deposit our treasure, that's where our passion is going to be. If I'm focused on the things of this earth, that's where my heart's going to be. And you know, as I was, I have to be honest with you, as I was studying this, I had to repent. And not actually about financial things, but I really had to come back and I realized that my heart has been distracted with the things of this world. And I'm not talking about money necessarily, but just life. And all of a sudden I realized that it's easy for me to get my focus off of what's important. And where I deposit my treasure, my passion, what I think about in all my waking hours, what do I think about? That's a pretty astounding thing. What do I think about when I don't have anything else to think about? When I'm not worried about work or studying for a message or whatever, where does my mind go? Because that's a barometer of what's going on internally for me. Where's my passion? Where's my heart? Do I think about sports? Do I think about making money? Do I think about... The list goes on and on. What do you think about? What do I think about? Because that determines... That verse is so powerful. Where my treasure is, that's where life is going to be for me. That's where my heart is. That's where my thoughts are. That's what I think about. That's what I dream about. That's what I focus on. And when I stopped to think about that, I realized I have issues. I have heart issues. I'm not depositing treasure where treasure needs to be deposited. Because where my treasure is, that's where my heart is. My heart always follows where I deposit my treasure. It'll always follow that. We can't get away from that in life. Where our treasure is, that's where our heart will be as well. What are we known for? It's what we're known for as people. How are you known? How am I known? When people describe you and me, what is their description? I've heard things like this, and I wouldn't want to be described as this, but he can squeeze blood out of a turnip. I've heard that description of someone. Or he has a way, he's a shrewd manager. The list goes on and on, and as I was thinking about that, I remember a number of years ago being in a motel in Indiana, and I walked in to pay my bill, and there was someone ahead of me that was actually a part of our conservative churches, and she didn't like her bill. And the person at the desk was trying to explain to her why her bill was what it was, and she didn't understand it. And it became such a big scene that I actually wanted to walk out and then come back in later on, and it was over a matter of a few dollars. And my question is that what we're known for? Like, what are we known for in our life? Where's our heart? Where's our passion? What are the things that drive us in life? Because where our treasure is, that's where our heart is going to be. That's what we're going to be known for. Are we going to be known for things of this world, or are we going to be known for things of heaven? That's an astounding question that we need to ask ourselves. Where is our heart? Where are our thoughts going in life? Third, the focus of our life provides either light or darkness for our lives. Where we're focused is going to provide light or darkness. You want to be able to walk in the light? Focus on eternal things. And we'll walk in the light. But when we focus on earthly things, we walk in darkness. And it's easy for me to get that mixed up. Sometimes I wonder why I struggle in my life the way I do. That's a good question to ask. Why do I struggle the way I do? Many times it's because my focus is not on eternal things. It's not on God. And I'm walking in darkness in my life. That's true. A lot of what I deal with in life, I need to get my focus back. And it's not all that easy. There's things that happen to us that we have to wrestle with. But most times, spiritually, when I'm wrestling with something, it's a matter of whether my eye is single, good, or Scripture says either good or bad. What kind of light am I allowing into my life? What kind of light am I trying to walk in? Fourth, we can only serve one master. One of the concepts of Scripture, I believe, money is talked about more than any other subject in the Bible. And we wonder why that is. But the truth is. It's talked more about than salvation, love, any other. It's talked about, that is the number one subject that's talked about in the Bible. And why is that? And it comes out in this passage because I believe it's the number one. I said money, that is not true. I want to rephrase that. Wealth and riches. And that can be way beyond dollars. That can include a lot of other things. But it's the number one competitor for God in our lives. I believe that that's true. The things of this world are the number one competitor for God in our lives. We can't serve two masters. It talks about that. We will love the one and hate the other. We will hold fast to the one and despise the other. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. Jesus is describing the parable of the sower. And he says, "Now he who receives seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." How many times is that true in my life, in your life, in my life? The word of God comes to me, but the cares of this life choke out the word, because we can only listen to one master at a time. That is true. We can only focus on one master. I've worked with people through the years. I've heard people say to me, "I don't know what to do at work because I have two bosses." And the one will come and say this to me. The other one comes and says this to me, and I don't know what to do. Because we can only serve one master. We can only work for one person. And when we receive different orders coming in, who are we going to obey, and how are we going to live our lives? That's true of our lives here on this earth as well. In our spiritual walk, we can only listen to one person. We'll either listen to God or we will listen to the things of this earth. We can't get away from that in our lives. Fifth, the heart of the Father is that we lay up treasure in heaven. That's pretty obvious in the verses. But the heart of the Father is that we pursue wealth. He wants us to pursue wealth, but where are we storing it? Luke chapter 12, verses 30 to 34. This is how Jesus said we should do that. I'm breaking into some thoughts here. But he says, "For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Then he says this, "Sell what you have and give alms, and provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Let me unpack this a little bit, just in a couple of words. God's treasure is not things, it's people. The treasures of the heavenly are not things, it's people. God wants us to pursue people. God wants us to lay up treasures in heaven, and it's not going to be money that we send to heaven ahead of us. That's impossible. But what we send ahead of us into heaven are people. That's why the love chapter is so huge. That's why he says it's more important that we love than we follow in the gifts in chapter 12. And we talked about that some in our Sunday school class. So often we can get focused on gifts, and that's a good thing. They're things of the Lord. They're actually gifts of the Lord. It's an okay thing. But when that becomes our focus and we forget to love, it says that we have lost something greatly. And why is that? Because love is what impacts people way more than the other things. Way more than finances, way more than the other gifts of the Spirit. Love is what touches people and changes people's lives. Is when we love each other. And that's how, Jesus is saying, if you want to lay up treasure in heaven, sell what you have and care about the people that don't have anything. Care about the people that are unsaved and need salvation brought to them in their lives. Care about those kind of things, and we send treasure ahead of us. We can't take anything with us when we leave this earth, but we can send lots of treasure ahead of us. In other places in Scripture, it actually says that's what our mansions will be built with when we get there. That's what our lives will consist of. Rewards, there's different things that it talks about. And so as we look at missions faith giving, I am not passionate about starting another program in our church. And most of you know I don't like programs. I like when we do things when they flow out of a heart for something. Programs mean nothing. But when our mindset is changed and we begin to realize that I as a person have a chance to impact the world and change people's lives, that's others' focus, but actually I can be self-focused a little bit when I realize that I want to send treasure ahead of me to heaven. I want to do that. And it's not about me. It's not even about what I receive when I get there. It's about God and the kingdom of God. But I want to send treasure ahead of me. So missions faith giving is not about a program and what we can do as a church. It's about sending treasure ahead of us. It's about people. It's about impacting people's lives and sending them. Actually, that's where the treasure is. I want to send them to heaven. I want to do all that I can to send them there. And it's going to be treasure for me, but look at the benefit for them as well. Their lives are changed for eternity. And that's my heartbeat for us as a congregation. Not that we start another program, but that we change our thinking and we change our thoughts about why we're here on this earth. And I need this more than anything else. I don't know how many, this program is not something that anyone has to do in the church, but I want to do it as a pastor. I want to do it as a personal thing because I want to change my focus. And one way of changing my focus, where I invest is where my heart's going to be. And I want my heart to be for things of in the heavenlies way more than on the earth. And so it is about people. I hope we as a church can build massive treasure in heaven because we're building in the lives of people. We're caring about people. We love people. And people are able to be impacted for eternity. This is our plan right now. Sometime in the next several weeks, I'm not sure exactly when it's going to happen, but we're going to hand out cards for you guys to just come before the Lord like it was explained through the thing and say, Lord, how much do you want me to invest in your kingdom? And then the first Sunday in March, we're planning to gather those in and begin a program then, and there'll be some more details coming out about that. But for us as a church to be able to invest in the kingdom of God, because where our treasure is, that's where our heart is going to be. And that's my prayer for us as a congregation, that our heart will be for the things of heaven. Let's pray. Lord, it's easy for us to get sidetracked with the things of this earth It's easy for us to get wrapped up in money and things and sports and music, and the list goes on and on. The things that can really sidetrack us from... Actually, Lord, there are things that can be a tool in helping in your kingdom, but so often they sidetrack us from really being involved. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that as a body of believers here at Life Fellowship, we would deposit our treasure in the heavenly realm, because our hearts then will follow. Lord, we want to be passionate about you, about serving you, about following you, and about being obedient to you. God, I pray that you would continue to pour out your Spirit on this congregation and lead us and direct and guide us as we go from here. In Jesus' name, amen.